Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the XYZ Experiment Podcast. It's me, Luke, your Gen Z, and I am with the whole crew today, Fee and Dash. And as you probably know, we love reflecting on this podcast, and me in particular. If we were to say, let's fast forward 20 years, so 2045. If you were to look back on 2025, what do you think you would be kind of remembering fondly, number one, but also number two, things that you think might slowly change or be phased out that you'd look back on and miss?
So many things. I think there's things in my environment that I think if they were to change, I would absolutely miss. The reason I'm saying that is in Melbourne, where Fiona and I live, that we just had a big new train station, metro tunnel opening, right? So that took 10 years to happen, mind you. Mm-hmm. And so I think in 20 years, if our transport landscape changes and say we don't have trams, so trams are quite unique to Melbourne. They're like little carriage carts that go on little railway tracks alongside the traffic. They're very iconic. They're incredibly convenient for people who are living in inner suburbs and the city. Like, you can easily jump on and off multiple times. If that was to go environmentally and just from a iconic Melbourne perspective, I would feel really sad about that. And if it was replaced by, I don't know, speed trains or something different, yeah.
Realistically, do you think that's something that could happen? Because I think that surely even if it's less pragmatic, it would still be a huge thing for tourists, right, to come to a strip like Melbourne to see the trams.
I think so, but I do know, because I did watch a documentary actually about Melbourne right through the ages, and trams like started pretty early on as a transport avenue, but being a regular tram user, I know that, and this is me not as a transport expert, this is me as a person who uses the infrastructure. When it's too hot, sometimes the trams don't work. When there's too many leaves on the tracks, sometimes the trams don't work. When there's things that it can get disrupted quite easily, that network. Like the other day on Friday, I was meant to be going into dinner. I mean, I did go into dinner into the city, and I was initially going to catch the trams, but none of the trams were, they were all being diverted just before my stop. So I ended up having to walk all the way into the city. So I do think there'll come a point where they're like, do we upgrade the system or do we reimagine what it would be with something else? I don't know. I'm not saying that they'll get rid of it, but if they did get rid of it, I would be sad about that.
Probably the biggest thing will be if we don't have electricity anymore, the environmental impacts of that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah, because they're all run on electricity.
They're all running on electricity.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same as someone who lives in the city, Fiona? Like, the trams are iconic.
Oh, they're iconic, but I can't see them getting rid of it. Melbourne's identity is too wrapped around the trams, like way too wrapped around. Like, wherever you go, there's something with a tram on it. You know, there's socks, there's biscuits, there's, you know, photos, there's jigsaw puzzles. Everything was with trams. That's the first thing you think about with Melbourne, I reckon, is trams. Trams, the MCG, Flinders Street Station, you know, all the iconic things of Melbourne. There'd be too much of an uproar, I think, to get rid of it. But the thing will be, environmentally, can we keep it if with electricity and all that sort of stuff? That will be the big thing.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
Well, for me, it would be different sorts of things. A lot of it would be entertainment. So the death of the bookstores, you know, I do support my bookstores quite a lot because I love them and I go in them and I spend money in them. you know, even with the Kindle would kill off a lot of physical bookstores is what I'm talking about. I don't think death of books, but I think death of bookstores.
An audiobook.
Yeah, the bookstores are a wonderful place to go to just wander around and see all the different titles and see what people are doing. And I mean, I'm happy to say most bookstores I go into are busy, but that's because there's so few of them. You know, there is not that many. It used to be a bookstore everywhere, but not anymore. And bookstores can be really about community and can start up like book clubs and all that sort of stuff. And cinema is the other one I'm really worried about. And they reckon cinema, the death of cinema happened in 2019, just as COVID was starting up, and it's never recovered. And I really love the cinema and I love going to movies at the cinema and I still go regularly. But I really notice that sometimes there might be four or five people in that cinema. It's not packed anymore. It's very, very rare to go to a busy cinema, like really rare. And I feel I would really hate to lose cinema. I would really, really hate to lose that. My cinema down the road from me, which is a Hoyts, recently did a massive renovation, like a massive renovation, and I felt such relief because I just thought, okay, they must be making money, so this is really good that they've just done this huge renovation and I can still go to the cinema.
One thing that I have also noticed is the turnover of restaurants that happen, particularly in the city, or actually I guess elsewhere. And so, you know, in 20 years' time, I do kind of wonder the impact of things like Uber Eats and meal delivery services will have on restaurants. And I wonder if the kind of lower price, middle price restaurants will start to be more food delivery services as opposed to you can come into our restaurant and sit down and have a meal. And then everything else would be quite high end. I don't know. I would feel sad if that did happen because some of my favourite restaurants are in that category.
It's true, actually, because the dining experience is a pretty nice experience to go out and enjoy and all that sort of stuff. I'd be sad to see some of my places close down that I go to. I was thinking I went to one last night, which we call iPad Chinese, which we love, and I'd be really sad if that place closed down. I'd really miss it. I'd really miss it, actually.
But so many places are, and so many, even some of the high-end places.
Yeah.
Like I read recently, a very famous chef's branch of restaurants are going into administration. So
wow.
And that's happened to a number of them, right? So you then think, gosh, what's going to happen going forward?
Would you say that's because of things like Uber Eats and such? Because I feel like they're almost like, I know they're obviously inexplicably linked, but I think Uber Eats, as someone that gets it, is quite expensive to the point where, like, if you were to just go and buy in store, surely it would be between 10 and 20% cheaper, right?
Well, that's what they often send. So a few of the restaurants we get Uber Eats from will actually say, eat in store and you'll get a 20% discount because they're trying to get customers in. But I feel like people are more and more moving to the convenience of eating within their own homes. And you think about people who might have young children, they can, as you know, the kids can go to sleep and they can order in a nice Uber Eats meal and not have to pay for a babysitter, for example. Or you can then turn on your streaming services and watch a movie while eating Uber Eats in the comfort of your own home and not having to jump on a tram or take public transport to go into the city or go to the cinema. So I feel like a lot of these things, as we've gone into like a gig economy or we've gone into, and maybe COVID had a lot to do with it, but I feel like how we eat and entertain ourselves has changed.
We're cocooning more, it seems, like just, yeah, cocooning more within our homes. And the other thing that I think about when we are talking about this topic, and this is very philosophical, that at 57, I often are nostalgic about my 20s and 30s when I was a lot more carefree, a lot more adventurous, a lot less afraid of failure. Like, I miss that, and I often think to myself, where is that Fiona? Where has she gone? I miss that about myself quite a lot. And Luke, you might not have that because you're in your 20s still, but yeah, as I get older, I miss some of that youthful stuff. And it is something I've reflected on in the last couple of years. It definitely is. I miss that as well.
I'm at a transition period where I want to ask you about this as well, if this is something you've experienced. But before that, for one answer that is kind of touching on what you were saying, Fiona, I think for me, physical media is something that I'm really going to miss, which I think in the next 20 years will become, again, even more boutique and more like special interest than what, you know, traditionally the public would be buying in order to consume content. One reason for that is the nostalgia of, you know, the art of things like the DVD case, the video game case, the manuals, the little things that come with it that make that experience seem just a lot more kind of magical and entertaining. But I think also the concept of ownership, like there is no owning of media anymore. You're not really, a lot of the time we're not buying things for life. We're buying the ability to license things, and that can be taken away from you very, very easily. So I think I've been like just personally coming to terms with that, and that how that impacts my relationship with things like video games and even like ebooks. But going back to what you were saying, Fee, I think one thing that I'm kind of in this transition period about is, even though I'm kind of in my late 20s, it's because I'm a student still, like I'm still at a university, there is that sense of like I'm still learning in a way. And I've like always been interested in this idea of when do you stop being this young person where the expectation is just you're full of potential, so just harness it. And at what point are you of an age where it's like, okay, you're not potential anymore, you need to be actually showing output for that potential? And so I think being in this period where, as you're kind of saying, that freedom, you know, I can, the ability to just pick up and move into state, you know, that was a big reason why I moved. I remember talking to someone about whether or not I should stay and attend a university in Melbourne or in Tasmania, and they said, this might be, you know, one of the few opportunities that you have where you've got so little responsibilities where you can just pick up and move and there's actually no consequences. And so I think a lot, you know, as you're saying, that concept of youth and being little expectations, lots of freedom, and that fearlessness and that kind of idea of like, I could be anything. I think as you get older, you can still be anything, but that idea of infinite options, it feels like, even for me now, is kind of slowly whittling down.
And it's interesting you say that, because Gen Y has a lot of memes that are circulating. I don't know if you guys get them as well, where you have someone in their late 30s, 40s, looking around a room when there's a crisis happening, look, and they're going, I'm looking for the adult, and then realizing it's them. And going, oh gosh, now I have to be the responsible one, and I have to take on that responsibility for others and for the decision making and the consequences of that. Mm. And so I do think there's an element of going, oh, I'm not just learning, now I have to be the expert.
Yeah.
I have to be. That's expected.
Yeah.
Because if you're not at a point in life, then I think you can still always be learning, but there's an element of you've got to demonstrate that you've got this. Yeah. Do you agree, Fiona?
I do. It's funny when you do have that realisation that you're the adult in the room. It's such a great way to put it. Like, I've had that with, you know, some of my godchildren and things like that. They've come over to Melbourne and we've gone out to dinner or something, and then I realise, oh, I've got to pay. Like, not that they're expecting that, but that's what the older person did for me. That's what I'm going to do for them. You know what I mean? Like, I'm now the adult in the room. And, yeah, it's a really interesting thing. I think the longer you can keep your innocence and your freedom, the better. I think you actually become the adult in the room when you take on a lot of financial debt. That's one of the things that causes you to grow up very quickly. Family, having kids, buying a house, all that sort of stuff is when you suddenly become the adult in the room, I think. And, of course, as you go up the ladder at work, that's another big thing too.
It's really funny. I think I try to practice gratitude often, so I'm often feeling it about the present moment, even if it feels like it's not as good, quotation marks, as previous years. But One thing that I can say is that when I first started my master's last year with a lot of people from a lot of different walks of life, a lot of people were considerably older than me and they had already lived a life. They've had children. They've at least been working full-time up until that point for a while. And coming back to being a student, a lot of people said it was one of the best years of their life because it almost is like reverting back to being that person that's free and that's young and that has all these opportunities, which I found really, really interesting.
That is interesting. And I'm actually going back to teaching master's students next year. I know, I'm looking forward to it, except that I do know for some people it can be a real shock to their system to come back into a very structured way of studying and having to write assignments and submit them at a particular time. And you know, you don't get an extension if your life is busy. You know, like there's like particular criteria for extensions, and I know people get upset about that. Like it has to be hardship, or you got sick, or you know, you have to have a letter from the doctor, that kind of stuff. But I was just going to say, you know, you started off by kind of saying looking 20 years ahead and then looking back. And I was reading a post by a woman who was in her 70s. And she said one of the things that she looks back at her time from the age 50 onwards is that how much women, and this is, I don't know if men will relate to this, but how much as you get older you think you're meant to fade and not stand out. And she is almost a little bit regretful for what she did throughout her 50s and how she dressed and how she behaved. And now as a person in her 70s, I showed all these amazing photographs of the stuff that she wears. I'm like, she is like crushing it, basically saying, I'm not going to be a shrinking wallflower because that's what society expects of people as they get older. So I think you can kind of also look back, as you said, with regret and say, oh, I wish I had done the last two decades differently, or that things that might have happened in the world were different. Like I wish that pressure wasn't on women, or I wish that expectation didn't exist for families, or whatever it might have been. I mean, I think it's been a really interesting conversation to reflect forward and then back.
Yes.
And as our final episode of the year, listeners, we are very much looking forward to welcoming in 2026 with you when we kickstart again in a couple of months. Enjoy this time of rest, and I hope it is restful for you and resetting. And we will be back in your ears sometime in February, probably. So listen out for us, and we look forward to chatting soon.
Hi everyone, it's Dash. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the XYZ Experiment podcast, and don't forget to leave a rating and a review. If you've enjoyed our show and like what you're hearing, tell all your friends and family and hit that subscribe button. If you want to hear our updates and know when episodes drop, follow us on Instagram at the XYZ Experiment for all the latest updates and news. And our original music was composed and performed by the amazing Luke Champion.